The rhythmic beating of drums, the pounding echoes throughout the streets, the shouts and clamor of all the people, making known what is happening. There's nothing discreet about this. I'm talking about a parade. For the most part, all parades have the same purpose. They draw attention because something important is happening. Now, you may all be thinking about this little thing that happens in Pasadena. I think it's, was it called the Rose Bowl Parade? But for me, my memories of childhood recall the parade at the beginning of every Henry County Fair in Napoleon, Ohio. Every second Saturday in August, all of Henry County comes out to celebrate. And we see all the sports teams in their uniforms, the floats decorated elaborately, the tomato pageant contestants in their sports cars, and lots of fire trucks. Everything that Henry County has to show off and to draw attention, right there, passing by all the spectators. It's time to have a parade. But I'm wondering, what would happen if two parades were going on at the same time? What if two parades happened to be on the same day, in the same city, on the same streets, and they were headed straight for each other? What would happen when these two parades meet? I could imagine it would be a huge mess. Perhaps it's a little dramatic, but you imagine trombones flying, floats crashing and busting into smithereens, and lots of upset people. Well, apart from the trombones and the floats, that might be an analogy for what happens in our reading this morning. On the one side, you have Jesus. And this, as Luke writes, a considerable crowd of people were following him on the way to the small town of Nain. He had just healed the servant of a centurion simply by speaking the word. And he cast out demons. He had miracles of healing. And he had attracted this huge crowd of followers. Now, whether or not we recognized whether they were following him simply because of his miracles or because they believed in him, that's kind of beside the point. They were celebrating all of the life that he was bringing around him. And you could almost say it was a parade of life. And as they're marching into Nain, they encounter another parade. But this parade is dramatically different. This parade is led by a casket, a dead young man, accompanied by his widowed mother, followed by a crowd of mourners. And the only one who this widow had to take care of her is now dead. And they're marching to a different beat, the beat of death. And people are wailing. There were actually professional mourners at this time who people would pay to mourn and to wail for them and make all of this noise and ruckus to let everyone know that death had come in to this family, that death had come in to this life. And now it was time to let everyone know what had happened. It was a parade of death. And so you see, we have these two parades, a parade of life and a parade of death, and they're heading straight for each other. What's going to happen when they collide? Life versus death. You know, death has had its fair share of paraded victories in the past. And in fact, we see it today We see it today as line of cars are on their way to the cemetery from the funeral. As this death continues to march its way into our lives, into our families, and into our friends, it clamors and shouts its victory. And we grieve it when it comes. It separates us from our loved ones, and we're powerless. Death's parade is powerful, and it's common to every human being. And we can hear its fatal beats from the time of our youth. It sings its song of sinners who die. And even if we ignore it, it's still marching on toward us. The parade of death is real. It's real for you and for me today. And so what happens when the parade of death and life collide? What happens in this story with Jesus who meets this widow's dead son? Jesus meets the death parade of this young man and silences it. He speaks like the young man is only sleeping. He touches the casket. The young man arises and is alive. Jesus gives life in the midst of a funeral procession. And as this young man arises, it absolutely astonishes everyone. Their death parade is over. They cannot shout and wail over this young man's death anymore. The only thing that they have to speak from their mouths now is God has visited us. As they glorify God, when death's parade meets Jesus' life, it's silenced, and the words of life are spoken. Life's celebration begins. But how does this apply to you? Because the death parade still happens today. Where is Jesus when we need him to interrupt our funeral procession? What does Jesus have to do with death's parade today? Well, in fact, Jesus not only interrupted this funeral procession at Nain, but he became a part of one. The world didn't like Jesus, the King of Kings, leading his people on his march of life. Our world didn't want this king. It culminated on Good Friday, when he was paraded down the streets of Jerusalem. The King of Life was given a cross to carry down the streets of his holy city. And instead of celebrating God's visitation, they shouted, jeered and mocked him and cried out, "Crucify, crucify him." It was Jesus' death march. And he trudged his way down the path to Golgotha, the place of the skull, where death was waiting for him. And he was nailed to a cross, and he cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He gave up his spirit and died. And everyone there thought to themselves, "Death parade has come again. Another sinner dead. We've all seen this before. Another death parade victory." But there's something different about Jesus. You see, just when everyone thought life's parade in Jesus was silenced, something amazing happened. After 3 days, when the women came to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. Angels dressed in dazzling white tell the women, "He is not here, he is risen." And they ran away in fear and awe to tell the disciples. Jesus appeared to his disciples and many others after his resurrection. How did he find them? Silent and locked up in rooms while death had its parade in the streets. But not for long. Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead. And shock and awe leads to celebration. His life's parade will not be silenced. O disciples, you cannot stay locked up in these rooms anymore. Let the celebration begin. Go out into the streets and declare to the whole world what God has done. How Jesus, who had no sin in him, became sin for us and conquered sin and death for us to give us life and to give us forgiveness. Death's melancholy march is no match for the life of Jesus, the Son of God. So beat the drums of victory, sound the trumpets, dance for joy, tell everyone what the Lord has done. Let all the world rejoice. This is life's parade. Life silences death's victory parade. And now life cannot be kept silent. Those first disciples went out into the world and marched to the beat of Jesus' life. On that first Pentecost, they were emboldened by the Holy Spirit, charging them and enlivening them to celebrate God's victory over death. Jesus gave his Holy Spirit that they might continue in the parade of life, that they couldn't keep it in. Nothing like this has ever happened before. So let everyone know, because the power of God's Spirit, it led them out into the world to share what has happened. And through your baptism, Jesus has joined you to this great procession, this great parade of life. You have died with Christ, and you have been raised to newness of life, and you will rise again on the last day in a resurrection like his. That same Holy Spirit on Pentecost calls you and enlivens you and joins you in this celebration. You are a part of this parade of life as he has made you into one of his followers that simply rejoices at the Lord. And the church has been celebrating this victory for the past 2,000 years. And we have a reason to celebrate. Celebrate even today, even in the midst of death's parade. Now, don't misunderstand me. Death is still in this world. It will still separate us from our loved ones. Death is bad. And we still grieve the loss that it brings. But Jesus is the one who silences death's victory parade. It has no dominion over Jesus. And as his followers, purchased, won, forgiven, gathered together in this great procession, it has no dominion over you. For you too shall rise. We know death's parade will be silenced once and for all. And we know that one day we will join in resurrected bodies with the whole heavenly host as God reclaims the whole world in his parade of life. You know, in a church in Germany, and you have handouts, you don't need to look at them right now, but in a church in Germany, there's a painting by Jan van Eck that hangs above the altar. And in the four corners of this painting, there are four distinct groups that are all processing to the center. And each group of people with palm branches in hand is making its way to an altar. Not just any altar, but at the top of this altar is the Lamb. And this is a picture of the last day when we will be gathered into this huge parade of life, in this celebration that Jesus indeed is leading today and giving to us today. The whole world will know what Jesus has done, and we as his people will celebrate. We will celebrate like never before. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? It worked its best to silence Jesus, but life's parade will not be silenced. He has made you a part of it today. And we wait for the final day when he will come back to lead us forward to celebrate in the life of him. But it is so sure that we can begin celebrating today. So bang the drums, sound the trumpets, tell everyone what the Lord has done. Amen.